a piece of the Michtav Meliyahu, written by Rav Eliyahu Dessler, who describes something for us in understanding that of Purim, and something that we can take away from Purim, really, that is, this is really like a foundational piece in general of Jewish, of our hashkafa, of our outlook on the world and on our universe. So it starts on page 126, if you have it, yeah, on there. So he starts by quoting a Gemara, okay, Gemara in Megillah. It says the following. Vayikach Haman halavush v'asasus. So Haman, and this may be a chazal that everybody's familiar with, maybe not. Haman takes the levush and the sus, the clothing and the horse. What's going on is this is already when things are starting to like a little bit shift, where Haman has gone in the middle of the night to Achashverosh, couldn't sleep. Achashverosh was thinking about, you know, what could be going wrong in his kingdom. And then he tells Haman that you have to go and, you know, what should we do to a man who the king wishes to honor? Haman paints this whole picture of what he thinks. And then one of the first Vinahapachus is, okay, so do that to Mordechai. So Haman now has to go, and he's bent on killing this guy. And now he has to go and dress him up and put him on the horse, and otherwise he is transgressing the word of the king, so he can't mess. So the Gemara describes that Azov Ashkeche de Yasvin Rabban Kamei Umachve Luhu Hilchas Kamita. So Haman goes and he finds that Mordechai is sitting with other rabbis in yeshiva, and there are different versions of this. Some have it he's teaching kids, some have it he's teaching rabbis, or he's teaching, like, you know, adults. And he's showing them Hilchos Kamitza, the halachas of Kamitza. What is Kamitza? Kamitza is in a carbon mincha, in a meal offering. So what you do is you take flour, and there's a carbon that's brought, a flour carbon that's brought to Hashem. No animals necessary. It's vegan, but right? But it's not gluten-free, though. Right? It's not gluten-free, right. So now the Hilchas Kamitza is that the way you take a part of this and offer it on the Mizbeach is that a handful is taken. It kind of goes in the Kohen's hand between these three middle fingers. There's a very exact way of doing it. If you're a male Kohen, then you know how to do it, or then you will. And if you're not, then you could just like... And so he was showing them exactly how it's done, how they used to take it out and be able to have that, this whole section full of this the mixture of the mincha, and then offer it on the Mizbeach. And Rashi explains that it was b'inyano shel yom tenufas ha'omer. So it was the inyan of that day, which was the waving of the omer. So this is all, so again, everything's happening right around, revolving around Pesach. So Omer is second day of Pesach stuff, right? So it's all part of the same thing. Kivin dechazi Mordechai de'apik lekable mirsus. So Mordechai sees Haman coming. What would he do? Freak out. I mean, this is it. He's scared. Lemikdal nafshei kasi. He says he's coming to kill me. This Atev Mordechai, so Mordechai wrapped himself in his talis, v'kamle litzalusa, and he went and started davening. Armaluhu, so Haman said to the other people there, b'maya siktu, b'maya skisu, what are you learning? Like, what are you doing? Amarle, they said to him, now it's interesting, because Haman, right, there, to be a Rasha, to be a qualified Rasha in Jewish stuff, you got to know stuff. You can't just be some random evil guy, right? You have to, like, they had a spiritual knowledge of things, obviously on the dark side of stuff, but they weren't, like, you know, just totally, they can't be, you know, just a regular Amma Aretz, you know, ignoramus, right? So what are you doing? So Amar Lehi, so they said, Bizmacha Beis HaMikdash Kaim, when we had a Beis HaMikdash, Mande Minadev Mincha, Maisi melo kumtza desulta umeschaper. Somebody who is bringing a carbon mincha, so they would have to bring this little handful or fistful of solas, of flour, and they would be able to get a kapara. Armalahu, so he said, Asi melo kumtza desulta dirchu, your handful of flour, Vidach is going to come, Vidachi yud alfi kikri kaspa dili, and it's going to kick away the 10,000 silver coins that I gave to Achashverosh. That was Haman's declaration. So Haman declares that this mitzvah of kmitza, this mitzvah having to do with this meal offering, is going to be something that's going to upend my plot against Mordechai and the Jewish people. Umuva b'yalkut, and then the yalkut, a form of medrash, tells us, le'olam al tehi mitzvah sa'omer kala be'enecha. Don't think that the mitzvah of Omer is something that should be taken lightly. And Rav Levi Omer, he sha'amda lehem b'mei Haman. That's what actually stood for the Jewish people in the times of Haman. It was this mitzvah of the Omer. Just parenthetically, we do have a concept, even though I think for the most part women are not nohag to say karbonos or to really have anything to do with karbonos, but the whole world having to do with either saying karbonos as part of davening, the beginning of davening, or learning about kachim, about the karbonos and the way everything was done in the Beis HaMikdash, there is a built-in understanding from Chazal that is the equivalent that we have nowadays of bringing it. And there are even, if you look in like the Siddurim, so after they have the paragraphs that describe different parts of the karbonos that are brought, it says, it's like Yehi Ratzon, so Hashem, it should be your will, that with the way we said it, it's as though we brought it. So that there's definitely like this connection of the way you say it to the way it's brought. In fact, by Pitum HaKtores, some people got into by Corona, like it was a thing to like say the Ketores. It says you're supposed to be very careful to pronounce everything correctly, because we had in this past week's parsha that if somebody is doing Ketores and they botch up a drop of it, bad news. Don't do that. So in the saying, also it's the type of thing where somebody who's saying it should be careful about how they pronounce things. Okay, so don't think that the mitzvah of Omer, don't let the mitzvah of Omer be looked at as being something that's like, you know, not so important. This is what helped us by Haman. Now, so he says, v'tzarech lahavin, so you have to understand. Eza kesher yish bina Omer, o yom ha'omer l'maisa Haman. What does the Omer, or this day of the Omer, what does it have to do with Haman? Like, what's the connection? V'chi b'shvil shekara hadavar b'yom ha'omer nitzlu b'zechuso. Just because something happened, that this event happened where, you know, Mordechai and Haman changed places for a day, just because it happened on the day that the Omer was brought, or the day that they were learning the Omer, so all of a sudden that just means that the Omer beat Haman? Like the Chazal are telling us something, they're not just throwing that around. V'hinei, ha-maral kasav, b'sefer or chadash, so the Maral, and he has a whole sefer on Purim, and Megillah, he says, "Shezed davar amok ma'od." This is a very deep idea. Ach nenasena levaro ktas. Let's try to explain it a little bit. So he says the following. The Rambam writes, and this is in Hilchas Yisodei HaTorah. The Rambam at the beginning of his sefer, his svarim on halacha, he lays down for us some basic ideas of our Jewish belief system, the Torah belief system, our belief system in Hashem. And he says the following, Moshe Rabbeinu lo haminu bo mipnei ha'osos. No one believed Moshe Rabbeinu because of the miracles. It's not the miracles. She'amamin al pi ha'osos yesh b'libo dofi. If you're a miracle follower, then there's something wrong with you. There's your real emuna is lacking. Because guess what? There are all kinds, there are all forms of ways of creating miracles, or, you know, so it could be sleight of hand. Nowadays, back in the olden days, there really was this black magic stuff. It's not like we live in a very rational world, and we don't really understand how that could be, other than, like, you know, in the movies. But like, there was a power that existed in the world to be able to maneuver and manipulate things in what we would call an unnatural way that had nothing to do with Kedusha. And in fact, it had to do with Kochos HaTumah, had to do with Tumah powers. And in fact, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky explains, he says that there always needs to be, like, there needs to be a balance of power between good and evil and between purity and impurity. So if you had a Beis HaMikdash with daily miracles and prophets and an Umvatumim, and you had all that stuff going on, how in the world would anybody not be on board with that? There had to have been a counterpower where there were Nevi'ei Habal, we just recently had in the Haftorah, where there's Avodah Zarah, and they have their form of Nevi'im. Now, who were these guys and what were they all about? You know, I don't know. They weren't just charlatans. There was something that they had going on.
There's a mitzvah, lo tanach hashu, that you're not allowed to do black magic.
Right.
So that means there must be something.
There is something out there. Right. Nowadays, that stuff doesn't exist. Why? Because, unfortunately, we don't have it on the Kedusha side of things either. So, as the spiritual level of the world kind of like, the obviousness of the Kedusha of the world kind of settled down, and we became part of a very rational world with its milas and with its chesronos, with its pros and cons, right? So so we don't have Nevi'im, we don't have that stuff. So the counter is that neither do they. So that's why we don't see any of that stuff, and it just seems absurd to us. But it existed. So he says, don't listen. So to follow things because somebody's able to make some sort of wacky sign, that's not a reason to believe in anything. It's not the type of a believability that stands forever. It's the type of thing that you can constantly question. You can constantly wonder, okay, how did that really happen? What's going on? What's this all about? Mikan, so we see from here. So what is the point of an ace? Hashem did some very, very obvious nisim for the world and for the Jewish people. What was it for? It wasn't to create the thing to believe in, but it's for those who believe. It could be a way of showing us HaKadosh Baruch Hu, getting something that's, you know, that backs up your belief system, but it can't be the belief system. Just the miracles, that's not good enough. So Mishayirtzah Shelo Lahamin, somebody who chooses to not believe, Lo Yachzru Lo Kol Milei Amaslos Afilu Neged Nisim Galuyim. If people want to deny, they will deny. No, there's no shortage of levels of denial, and he brings the biggest proof. Look at Rashi about the Dor HaFlaga. So the Dor HaFlaga, right, when they built the Migdal Bavel. So Rashi says, Udvarim Achadim, that, so it describes how, and there were like unified words, Dvarim Chadim Amru, they said a very sharp thing. This is what the people said. They said, because if I was in the Dor HaFlaga, right, I'd be like, let's see. We don't really have great, 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 you know, however many doors it was, grandparents. Why not? Or we all have the same ones. We all come from Shem, Chum, and Yafes. Why do we all come from Shem, Chum, and Yafes? Oh, because there was like this humongous flood that killed all of the bad people at the same time. So if that was part of my consciousness, I probably wouldn't do the wrong thing. So how did people... How did they convince themselves to be able to get involved in going and rebelling against Hashem. There was a flood, and they knew it. So they said, Achas le'elef v'tof resh nun vav shana. They said, you know what? There's a natural pattern here in the world that every 1,656 years, harakim is motate, the sky collapses. Right? Kishem she'as b'mei ha'mabel, and that's what happened at the Mabel time. So there's no Hashem. We could just like... So, what? I mean, there was the craziest catastrophe that ever happened in the world happened. Right? But if you want to deny what's behind it, you always have that option. So if there would be a nace of Kriyas Yamsuf and somebody would see that, and that would be the whole basis of their belief, you'll figure something out. You know, Atlantis sunk at that time, right? That's the big one, right? So like, you know, you'll figure out a way to make it that like, you know, it's not such a big deal and it's not such an ace. People will think of something. That means that they considered the Mabul a natural event that, you know, they must have been melting the polar ice caps at the time also back then. Rak hamabit al hateva ka'al nisim nistarim. So here he says, here's the key. But if somebody looks at teva, if somebody looks at nature, not as natural, but as hidden miracles, marin lo nisim guluyim kedei lechazko, then Hashem shows them big time nisim, revealed nisim, revealed miracles, in order to strengthen their belief. Kach hayu nisim guluyim bevayis rishon, v'gam achar kach liyachidim. So there were nisim guluyim, there were revealed nisim during the first bias, first base of Mikdash. The Mishnah and Avos tells us that there were 10 nisim that constantly happened, and Yerushalayim was a place of nisim. All of those things happened. What was that for? It wasn't to go and turn people into believers. It was to take people who were believers and give them something to kind of like pump them up, to give them something in order to give them a little chizuk in what they were already believing in. And gam achar kach liyachidim, after that, individuals, like Reb Chanina ben Dosa, he famously had the story where his daughter had used, instead of using oil, she used vinegar, right? So, and he says, oh, what's the difference? If this can happen, that can happen. And it happened. And he had all kinds of nisim happening in his life. But that is a person who saw teva, saw nature, the way, how does he express himself? He says, well, I mean, if oil burns, so then vinegar could burn. What do you mean? Oil naturally burns. Vinegar doesn't naturally burn. That's it. Depends how you look at the world. If you look at everything as, well, Hashem said that this should happen, so then Hashem said this should happen, Hashem could say that could happen. There's nothing that's just natural. Everything is a mini nace from Hashem. So then I can expand my worldview, and a person will then be zoche to see bigger nisim and more revealed nisim. So,
who were the nisim in Egypt for? Who were they for?
They were for the Jewish people. There was an angle of it that was destructive to the Mitzrim, punishing the Mitzrim. But they were to remind the Jewish people as to who they were, who was controlling their world and their life. They basically had forgotten. But it wasn't, there was never, it's like this balance of, they had forgotten Hashem, but not entirely. Like the way the Rambam expresses it is, there was just a drop of belief and of that kind of connection to the Avos left. And Hashem was able to like kind of rehabilitate it through the Nisim that happened. But it was never replacing the belief system or the belief that Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov had. It was just a way of revitalizing it. You know, it resurrected that belief back into being. So it kind of breathed life back into something that had been there before. That was the point of the Nisim. Not to create belief.
Situation with the hostages to daven that you wish Hashem would bring like some very open miracle. Is there a problem in that?
Is there a problem in davening for a nes?
Not a nes, like a nes, and you know, everyone's davening that the hostages should be free, right? But it should be in a way that just shows the world that, like, Hashem, yeah, like.
Wouldn't that be wonderful if the Jewish people?
So there's nothing.
The world will find an explanation. That's not a problem.
But do we ask for the Jewish people?
Yeah,
is that right?
So to ask for it, it's.
Because aren't we in a time where Hashem doesn't operate in that way?
We're in a time where Hashem doesn't operate that way, but we would like that to change. we're kind of at the end of the line over here.
The 48th war was almost nascent that Israel survived every time.
There's a military angle of it, and that it is right. It is clothed in teva.
Mm-hmm.
So it's sort of like, you know, when we daven for things, and this is kind of, it's a tension that we have. In which we want to be realistic when we daven, because we don't want to sound like crazy people, right? Oh, Hashem, split the ground open and just let the people pop out. Like, okay, that would be nice, but like,
well, we were talking about that, right?
Right?
The tunnels should collapse, but only the Egyptian,
we had it all worked out.
Hamas,
only the bit, right? Only that, right?
And the
hostages,
right? The Korach thing, but just like, right, spit them out, and that's it, right? So now so there's something where that sounds like absurd. What's that all about? On the other hand, when we sort of create like, okay, so let there be able to be like great intelligence and then they're able to like find the guys and like this last time, like just shoot the bad guys and save the good guys. And a lot of times when we daven in these ways, we're almost like limiting Hashem. We're telling Hashem like, okay, you basically have three options, right? So, like, this one seems really hard. I think try this one, right? Like, what are we doing? Like Hashem could. So it's kind of, I don't know. It's almost like daven for the result, and then like how it happens, you know, leave it up to him. That's kind of like, you know. But yeah, it's true that we imagine these things. We play them out in our heads in different ways. Sometimes it's like with the big time, you know, blockbuster miracle, and sometimes it's just like, okay, just make it happen, like, you know.
Whichever way.
Isn't there an idea, though, that a nes gully would limit our bechira? Like, that's one of the reasons why Hashem is kind of ne'alam in this world, is because we have to be able to not, if things are so clear, then bechira is limited. Is that true?
We'll find an explanation.
Yes, so there's definitely truth to that. There's definitely truth to that. But, and sort of like this, the point he's making over here is that as much as a person may be a believer, and we're talking about like a Reb Chanina ben Dosa type of person, somebody who was alive during the time of the first Beis HaMikdash. So it's someone who sees Hashem in like the hidden miracles. The way Hashem, I don't know if the word is rewards them, but the way Hashem reacts to them is by giving them Nisim Geluyim. He's mechazik them with the revealed miracle. So it's almost like, now, what to ask for, not to ask for, not sure, but there is a sense of, if someone is really like strong in their belief that like everything that's happening right now is from Hashem and I'm reacting to it in that way and realizing that there is no teva and that every minor thing is really just, you know, it's Hashem running the world, such a person is going to merit seeing something big, or seeing something bigger, or seeing something more revealed. And that's going to be able to catch them and be like, oh. And that will strengthen them, and then that will allow them, and this is, you know, we'll see this, Mr. Shem, next week, that will sort of allow them to strengthen their position and deepen the position of, wow, now I see Hashem everywhere. Like, if a person sees, like, what they consider a revealed miracle, their reaction to it often, or should be, that now I see Hashem everywhere. Not just in that one shot, but now it's like, now I play things back and I realize, wow, Hashem was involved in so many other ways and other things. And when a person starts thinking that way, then Hashem will give them another burst of inspiration. But again, it's inspiration. It's not, this is what you believe in. It's an inspiration. And then that will make the person see even more. Oh, wow, now I see even more of Hashem. And it's like it's a cycle that keeps on giving and keeps on and it deepens a person's recognition and sense of HaKadosh Baruch Hu being with them. So and that's and we'll go through this. So Mitzvah, we'll put this up next week from here. Okay.
Thank you.